Greetings, salutations, and other forms of hello, bienvenidos. Another wonderful and exciting episode of Guitar Talk with John and Jamie. This is John.
This is Jamie. Buenas noches.
Buenas tardes.
Noches is morning, isn't it?
No, buenas noches is night.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, wait. Well, okay, depending on what point in reality you're experiencing this, our time moment is its day.
Dias.
Buenos dias actually would actually be the correct thing.
Yeah.
You actually have corrected my Spanish, and I have a Spanish fiance.
Well, so, I'm from San Diego, so.
So that would, So if she hears this, she's going to know that I actually can't speak Spanish.
She's going to know that neither of us can speak
Spanish. Neither of us can speak Spanish, but she's still awesome. So today on Guitar Talk, we are going to be talking about?
We're going to be talking about live sound. Dialing in your sound for live.
Oh, I thought for a second I had this picture of like a mortuary and like dead people. And
yes, we're going to be talking about zombies.
Zombie sound. Yes, the zombie apocalypse.
Apocalypse.
For guitar players.
I'm correcting you everywhere today.
You really are.
No, live sound. It's an interesting phenomenon. We could discuss the different approaches to getting a sound or getting your sound live at a gig. Small stage, big stage, club, outdoor gig, whatever. There are, you know, a lot of times when you're playing live, you're at the mercy of a sound man, if there is a sound man. If there isn't, then you're at the mercy of yourself. Sometimes you mic, sometimes you don't.
Right.
You know, do you like to hear your sound in the monitor? Do you like to have your mic'd guitar coming back at you through the monitors? I personally don't.
Yes, I agree. I think can I ask a presumptuous question? Because I like to presume. So we're going to presume that this, for the sake of this conversation, that people who are listening and interested in why we'd be interested in live sound have essentially got a reasonably professional instrument that plays in tune.
That rules me out.
Yeah, I know. Shit, me too. There's also the presumption that not only does it play in tune, but it's got reasonable pickups and reasonable technology and is set up semi-professionally. We're going to assume that you have a pedal board or effects sequence chain that you've thought about and is reasonably well thought out of, is not noisy, isn't problematic, and an amplifier that essentially works. These are our presumptions. Because in order to get to the point where we're going to be discussing what it means to get a sound live, we assume that at some point or another you've spent some time working out what your sound is actually supposed to be. Which is not what we're really talking about today. We assume that you already have a sound that you want to hear, and how does one dial that in so that when we're in different stages and different environments, that we can replicate that in a performance setting? Is that correct, would you say?
Wow. That was a brainful. I don't know. I was just wanted to talk about how you... what you do when you go to a gig.
Let's do that. Okay. I go to a gig, and I set my amp up, and I have Fender style amps, which have the tilt back, and I have a pedal board, and I have a reasonable guitar, and I tend to want to stand 10 to 15 feet, if the stage is big enough, to the left or right of my amplifier and be away from the immediate transients of the speaker. I like to have the amp mic'd. I really dislike SM57s, but I understand that's going to happen, or 414s. If there's a ribbon mic available, I really am happy. And I don't actually, as you said, like the sound coming back to me directly in the speaker, because the speakers in a JBL monitor or a Myers monitor are really bright and brittle and harsh, and they don't sound anything like my guitar. And you?
Yeah. Use a ribbon mic live?
If possible, yeah.
Wow. That's just bizarre to me. I always use my favorite mic that I carry with me, and I would even take it on tour, it's before they were SM57s, they were called Unidyne 3s. And so it was an old Unidyne 3. I've got one that's my favorite mic. I carry it around. I always use it. That's what I use to mic my primary amp.
Tell me about a Unidyne 3, because I actually don't know the mic.
It's just old Shure mics. You know, it looks like a 57.
Okay.
And they made a few different versions. I think mine's called a P45 or a 545, I forget the exact number, because there was a lot of different models.
Okay.
Some of them had a switch on it, some of them didn't. Some of them were...
What year is this we're talking?
70s.
And are they still available?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you have to go looking for it.
Yeah, I mean, like I got mine on, eBay. I went on a mic buying spree, several years ago, and I, bought up a bunch of them. And of all the ones that I bought, even one of them was good.
So what do you like? What would you say the critical differential between this and a 57 is?
I'm not a mic engineer, but they sound different. They don't sound as hard as a regular 57. It's almost like they're capable of handling a little bit more sound pressure than newer SM57s. And it's my understanding that the capsule was different.
Okay.
And the element was different inside.
Okay.
And they had a different sound and a different SPL handling capability.
Okay. Well, what happens if you can't use that mic? What do you do?
Well, then usually, you know, if I can't use that mic and it's, you know, I'm on a, you know, it's a tour or something like that where I don't have my mic, or, you know, then you're just kind of, like I said, you're at the mercy of the sound man. You know.
Which is not always very merciful.
Yeah, I mean, he's just going to use what he uses, and there's not really a whole lot you can do about it. So, you know, you just have to sort of deal. But the thing is, you know, you got to remember, he's miking that. It theoretically shouldn't affect the way that, you know, your amp is sounding to you, because you're getting, you know, you're getting what you're hearing on the stage. That's how you're monitoring yourself.
That's true, but what I've noticed is that when, depending on the size of the stage, like in a small room, you know, like certain amps or most amps in my ears sound a certain way because of the reflective space that you're in. But on a big open air stage, the dissipation factor of the sound, there's a certain harshness that kind of can come up because you're losing bottom end, or you're losing, or you're getting like a focused mid, and it doesn't quite sound like the amp when you're in a rehearsal room or you're in a room where you're working on the sound of the amp.
Well, I've always enjoyed the fact that if you're playing on a larger stage or in a bigger venue or a bigger hall or wherever, you know, you get your sound on stage, and then as soon as the front of house engineer brings it up in the house, it just makes everything bigger, you know. So, I have this theory that the bigger the stage you're on and the bigger the venue, the importance of exactly what mic, just it becomes less important.
Okay.
It's like inversely proportional to the size of the stage. This is a completely separate topic, but you know, like you hear people that say, oh, I have to have this delay effect or this rack mounted reverb or blah blah blah, and you know, and these are guys that are touring, you know, arenas and stadiums. It's like it doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Because of the size of the space anyway. Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're using an Eventide H3000 for your delay or a Boss DD3.
Yeah.
It really, in the loop, it doesn't matter
at
that point. You know, you're playing this big station. No one's going to be able to tell the difference between
your
pristine studio quality delay or this crappy little bell. It just doesn't.
It does. I will say, though, that from the audience point of view, that the blinky lights of a 3000 and
yeah,
the visibility
looks,
is so much cooler than the DD3.
Cool. And, you know, and chicks like it.
Chicks dig big rack-mounted digital light.
Lots of flashing lights.
Flashing lights is, you know, that's where it's all at. Yeah. But okay, so what about monitoring? So what do you want to hear when you're monitoring your amp? What do you want to hear coming back at you?
Well, again, I don't like my amp in the monitors. If you're on wedges, I always have them take it completely out. If possible, I'd like to set it up so that I can hear, you know, so that my stage volume is where I'm monitoring my amp.
And then same with in-ears, when you're using in-ears?
Well, on in-ears, it's like you have to have some of your guitar in there, you know, or else, you know, it's impossible to feel what you're doing at all.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I mean, I did about, you know, 5 or 6 years worth of touring on in-ears.
Do we need to explain in-ears, do you think?
In-ear monitors are basically these little form-fitted, you know, they take a mold of your ear and they make, they're like earplugs, but they literally have little speakers, little drivers in them, and that's how you monitor. And that's what's fairly common nowadays, is it's taken the place of
wedges. Well,
it
reduces stage volume considerably.
Yeah, theoretically, that's sort of the thing. But I really dislike in-ear monitors. I don't think that it's always bad. It's always tough to get a good guitar sound in ears. At least it always was for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I always would find myself, if it came time to where I had to do anything crucial, like solo, I would always take one of them out so that I could hear. But then you kind of have to, you can't play all the time like that, or else you start going deaf unevenly.
Yes, you want to be able to go deaf evenly and get the tinnitus in both ears.
Yeah.
That's an important thing, folks. For all of you folks out there, remember, make the ringing in both ears the same frequency and even in volume, okay?
Yeah. Take it from me.
Yeah. So that's an interesting thing is stage volume, which is an important thing. Is like, how do you get, like, I know that in smaller venues, One of the biggest challenges is especially over the years has been that people play way, way too loud, you know, for smaller spaces. And that's why the whole thing with boutique, like, you know, lower wattage amps has been coming up and the function of it. But if you're in a small space, like I am always looking in the smaller gigs, like a blues gig or something, to get it so that the balance for me is that my dynamic range is such that at my quietest, I can speak, you know, I can speak and hear myself above my guitar. And at my loudest, I'm able to, without effort, without strain, be able to express myself dynamically. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the volume range. But a lot of guys are not, they're just playing super loud the whole time. I mean,
well, sometimes with certain amps, it's like, you know, you have to turn them up to a certain point to get them to do their thing and to feel right. And you get into a small space. You know, here's the thing. Front of house engineers will always cry about stage volume.
Yes.
They will always cry about it.
Yes.
And
or hit you or yell at you or other
things. Yeah, but that's just what they do. I've come to accept that as being one of the foibles of the front of house engineers, that they,
and it is their job technically to make sure that things balance so that they can get what they perceive to be the right thing in the room. And some front of house guys are really quite extraordinary at doing that. It just depends on who you're working with.
I guess I have yet to work with one. No, I'd take it back. I've worked with some fine front of house engineers. But I like to be able to be heard acoustically. I like to be on par with the drums. That affects the way that the guitar feels. That affects the way that it's going to feel to me. That's going to affect how hard I have to play physically, how hard I have to dig in, and the things I have to do physically with my right hand to produce a sound that makes the amp feel the way that I need it to feel.
I completely understand that.
So if I'm fighting against a drummer, then it's just not going to work, you know. It's just not going to work.
Which is generally why we're perceived as being loud, actually, guitar players.
And when we're generally not. And it's like, and I love the sound guys, that, you know, when you walk on stage and you just turn your stuff on and you plug your guitar in and you're kind of playing a couple of chords to make sure everything's working. And he's like, oh, it's much too loud. It's like, I haven't played anything yet with the band.
Like that gig we did a couple of weeks ago. Jamie and I did a duo gig together and we'd never played in the room. And it's a beautiful venue and guitar duo, really delicate, beautiful jazz stuff, like Ted Green meets, I don't know, us. And we just sat down and we played, like, I think our first or second tune. We're not in a PA. We're not anything, just two little amps on the stage. And the commentary back was, well, you're too loud. You're too loud. And we're like, well, we're trying to find our groove in the room of how do we hear each other? Where is the dynamic range and how do our instruments respond in the room? And we needed a period of time to settle in.
Yeah.
You know,
you have to get a feel for the room, which brings me to my next point, which is, are you one of those guys who dials your amp in for the room?
Mm.
I mean, I'm talking about like redoing your EQ and everything. I'm, you know, not, you know, volume of course is going to vary from room to room, but
I will, my amp is really simple because my amp has treble and bass. My particular amp that I'm using a lot right now, I use a Fender Supersonic, and there's not a lot of EQ colors. And actually, mostly what I do is I change the high-end curve depending on the way the room is feeding back to me. So in other words, if the room is really bright, I tend to roll off more high-end to get my sound the way it is. There's a certain sound I have on the neck pickup that I know means the rest of my sounds will work. Mm-hmm. So I'll play chords, and I'll play a certain single line thing, and I'll look for that. And if it's too bitey, I'll roll off the high end. But that's it. That's kind of my dialing in.
Yeah, that's always kind of you ever see a movie called Planes, Trains, and Automobiles where John Candy and Steve Martin, they're driving and they're going down the freeway, but they're going the wrong way. And a car pulls up next to them and goes, "You're going the wrong way." And John Candy's like, "How does he know where we're going?" And Steve Martin's like, "Yeah, how does he know where we're going?" You know. So I had one of those moments once. I used to play with this amazing guitar player named Randy Jacobs. I was in a band called the Bone Shakers, and I would do that. This was years ago, and I would go into and I would like reset my amp. And Randy's like, and Randy was like, "You know, your amp is the sound is always the same coming out of your amp." He's like, you know, when you get down, he would get down in front of his amp and he basically would just set his knobs the same place every night. He's mm-hmm. like, because that's the sound of the amp that I like.
Okay.
You know, why would I change the sound that I like? You know, because, and then I was like, Yeah, why would I change the sound? You know, yeah, you know, it was one of those. Yeah, how does he know where we're going? I was like, yeah, that's right. The sound's the same. I set the amp to where it sounds good to me when I'm sitting right down in front of it. That's the sound of the amp that I like. And then you stick a mic and he goes, and the rest of it's up to the front of house guy. If it's too bright outside, he take rolls off the
top. I agree with that. Get it right for you so you're comfortable.
Yeah, because the only thing you ought to be adjusting is your volume. If it's a small room, you turn it down a little bit. If it's a big room, turn it up a little.
Or an air brake, by the way. I've used air brakes successfully.
That's a whole other time.
That's a whole other time. So yeah. Speaking of, so again, we've had another little brief discussion here about the idea of getting live sound. We know that there's a lot that we didn't cover, which has to do with the rest of the players in the band and your role in the band. Are you supportive? Are you a feature?
But they're not important.
That's right. We're talking about all about
the guitar and how loud the guitar is, how well you can be heard, how awesome your solos are.
Yeah.
And if there's chicks there.
Yeah. That was our point for today. So just to let all the folks know, in October, Jamie and I are going to be doing a Guitar Talk live from the LA Amp Show, and we will be giving more specifics about that. And it is a great show sponsored by Lonnie Spector, put on by Lonnie Spector, and there'll be a lot of incredible amp makers there. And we will be interviewing a plethora of our guitar community pals, talking about their thoughts on amps and picks and strings and
geeky every stuff.
Geeky stuff. Yeah. We are gonna have a major geekathon. If you're at the LA Amp Show, please come by and visit us. We'll see if we can answer any questions in our opinionated ways. So this has been another episode of Guitar Talk with John and Jamie. We are really happy to be doing this. And send us your thoughts. Post on our site. Subscribe to our blog. Send some thoughts on the Facebook page. And in general, just tell every single geeky guitar player you know that there are these two relatively opinionated and stoic
know-it-alls
who just want to sit here and talk about stuff. And actually, we'd like to start hearing from you guys. So let us know. So thanks for listening. Another episode of Guitar Talk. We'll see you guys next time.
Sayonara.
Well, now we're going Japanese.
We're making our way around the world.
Around the globe. Yeah. Just going language first. Sayonara. Yeah. Sayonara isn't really... Well, yeah. Ohayo suminasai. I was going there. I had to go for it.
Arigato gozaimasu.
Really? Don't touch my mustache. All right. Later. I gotta go now. Okay. Guitar Talk with John and Jamie is proud to be sponsored by the LA Amp and Custom Guitar Show. For more information, please visit ampshow.com.